We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Abner Mayers is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Mayers, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. They chat about topics like the state of boxing, sports, music, culture, and family life, and being a husband and a girl dad. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Mayers wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays, and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays. Welcome to episode 222 of the Barcelona Podcast, home to the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and I am not joined by Frances Tomàs today, because today, well, there actually is no live recording. But as a special bonus podcast for this week, where Frances and I already talked just a few days ago, and we have La Liga getting back into action, Barcelona versus Getafe this weekend, and then you know what's coming after that. It's the Champions League, then the following weekend, El Clásico and Juventus. So there's a lot going on. We got a lot coming up. But today, I was able to, last week, have a conversation, and it was me as the guest on the Best Soccer Show with Jason Davis, where they also have a show on Sirius XM. They're on YouTube. They're everywhere you may find it. So I'm actually going to hand it over because, again, Jason Davis interviewed me all about Sergiño Dest. And for those who may not be necessarily interested in the American aspect perspective of this, because that's what this was about Sergiño Dest moving to Barcelona, filling in some things, and we did have some stuff that I don't think I had even said on the pod before about Sergiño Dest's personality and all those different things. So again, for anyone interested in just continuing to get to know Barcelona's first American signing ever, stay tuned for this interview here, because it was a good one.
Okay, we're here on the Best Soccer Show from the Stands, joined by Dan Hilton from the Barcelona Podcast, which you can find at barcablog.com and obviously wherever you get your podcast. Dan, how are you?
Doing pretty well today, Jason. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming by. All right, so we're doing these series of episodes where we're focusing on all of this young American talent that is rising in Europe at the biggest clubs in the world, Weston McKennie at Juventus and Giovanni Reyna at Borussia Dortmund and Christian Pulisic at Chelsea. But now we have another to add to the list after his move to Barcelona, Sergiño Dest. First of all, was Dest a name that Barca fans were even thinking about a couple of weeks ago before this all kind of came together?
Yeah, I actually would say it was. Just the connection between Ajax and Barcelona being as deep as it always has been. I think Barca fans and culés usually have about half an eye on some of the talent that's up and coming through Ajax's system. And with Barca having such question marks at the right back spot, with Nelson Semedo for three seasons never really fitting in, and then Sergio Roberto being a natural midfielder, he's been playing right back since 2015 when Luis Enrique moved him back there, but he's never really been or had the ability to be a top right back, because again, that's not his natural position. So I think with Sergiño Dest in particular, he was a player not because he was American, obviously, but that culés had some idea of because of their connection to Ajax.
Okay, and the Ajax connection is deep between those clubs, and then obviously you have a manager now that has the Dutch background, has recruited Sergiño Dest for the national team before. He ultimately chose the United States, which we're happy about. But he was there with the Dutch national team trying to get Sergiño Dest to declare for them. So this, is, I imagine, is kind of a marriage of those Ajax connections, but also having Koeman on, who is obviously an admirer of Dest.
Yeah, it is interesting that Koeman, he does follow, obviously, in that long line, going all the way back to Rinus Michels and Cruyff and Johan Niskens, and then you follow through to the Koeman on the Dream Team, and then the De Boer twins, and these are just some of the names. There's tons of Dutch players, and the Dutch connection between Barca and the Netherlands is quite solid. But all that said, you know, bringing in Dest to Barcelona from Ajax, you wonder what kind of role that Ronald Koeman actually did have. Now, I'm an American and a Barca fan in two, and I really believed at the start of both of these things that Sergiño Dest would originally be a player for the Netherlands just because of how sought he was. And for those who might not know his history, he's been recruited to the U.S. basically from the U-17s, and that's where he's been working his way up in the U.S. system. But I really would have believed that he would have chosen to play for the Netherlands if he really had a shot to break in there. And he would have chosen Bayern Munich this summer, yeah, who had both a better financial offer. They had just won a Champions League, and they had a team that does develop their talent a little bit better. And North American fans will know Alphonso Davies. So I really was 0-2. But as far as my heart goes, I'm 2-2. And I wonder if Koeman honestly did have a say, because Dest, for being connected to America with his American father and his Dutch mother, he was born and raised in the Netherlands. He is a Dutch player. He's been in the Ajax system since he was 11 years old. So I do think that Koeman did have some kind of pull. And I do honestly believe that he, you know, personality wise, it's funny. I was reading in The Athletic, all his different youth coaches all kind of said that they said he was different, but not in almost like, it was not really a compliment. It was so much of a, he seems to just be a peculiar personality. And I think that kind of self-belief was one that when certain players say, I have a dream club and this is my dream club I want to move to, you know, in football, especially in today where money and agents, you know, they rule the roost more than actually listen to a player. Yeah. A lot of people say that's my dream club. But when Dest said my dream club is Barcelona, he was one of those characters and personalities that maybe we should have believed him.
Yeah, that definitely came through. I think, and you watch the social media stuff and the video and his Instagram or whatever, it definitely seems like, and maybe that's what it is, you know, when you have that deep connection between Dutch football and Barcelona. I imagine when you're a little Dutch kid, yeah, you want to play for Ajax. That's the biggest club in the country. But you ultimately want to go to a place like Barcelona and say, I play for the same club that Johan Cruyff played for and that has all those deep connections. So I think that's sort of fascinating from this. And I wonder if it makes it a little bit more intense for a 19-year-old making this move, especially considering this moment that Barcelona is in, Dan, because it's not the most stable club at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that was, again, the argument as a Kool-Aid, that if I was Dest and I'm looking at the two sporting projects this summer, I would have picked Bayern Munich, obviously. But for Dest, there are both positives and negatives to the moment that Barca is in right now. We don't need to really talk about Messi here. We've been going on and on about that. But with him staying this season, there is a mix of youthfulness and in the squad, and there is a mix of the old veterans that have been there for a while that, yeah, they know how to lose in the Champions League. But this is also a group of professionals that won a lot of Champions League, that main core of Busquets and Piqué and Messi. And they are still really around to be those mentors. But this squad is so, so young. Even, I know we're going to talk more about his debut in a second, but even with his debut, he comes on for Jordi Alba, who went off injured, and he's playing on the left side as a left back. But in front of him is 17-year-old Pedri. Mm-hmm. And 17-year-old Pedri just came over. He's a player that just came over from Las Palmas as well for around 5 million euro. And Pedri, again, is a player who's 2 years younger than Dest. And now they're working against each other on the left, working with each other rather on the left side, against a Sevilla team who should be top four in the league. So that just tells you that there is a youth movement that he's going to be a part of. But then the other part of that is that youth does make mistakes. So having all of that young talent and Koeman having to deal with the expectations of the last year of Messi, and obviously Kool-Aid's, I mean, you can't lose one match before you have your coaching and your managing career questioned. So all of that pressure, but he does seem, as we talked about, a personality that is not going to feel the weight of playing at Barca as much as you'd think he would.
That's interesting. Now, obviously coming in as a left back and replacing Jordi Alba because of the injury, maybe that wasn't the plan. I mean, obviously he was available, so they dressed him, so it really some thought that he could play, but he had only just arrived in midweek before this match. And left back is maybe an interesting question to ask, because when I was just kind of sketching out a possible U.S. men's national team for the November window, I threw him in at left back because he's capable of that and because I feel like the U.S. men have more options at the on the right side, and left back's always been a problem for the U.S. men's national team. I had a lot of pushback from people, Dan, who said, oh, no, he's a natural right back. Why wouldn't you start him there, throw in Anthony Robinson, who we don't have to talk about, who's at Fulham, and play Dest in his natural position? And I would love to do that. Is there a sense that Barca is going to just throw him in where they need him, or are they going to try to lock him into a singular position? You already talked about right back and the uncertainty there.
Well, so far this season for Coleman, he's instituted a pretty rigid 4-2-3-1, which is already basically the first time he's been getting some ire and some consternation about his ideas, because Sevilla and Lopetegui did figure out that no matter who the personnel are that comes on, as you know, with La Liga also as the rest of world football having those five substitutes, that he's really just going to plug and play rather with personnel. So for that 4-2-3-1, that so far Coleman has had the right side, which has been Griezmann as the right part of that, the middle three, if you will, with Messi as a false nine, and then Sergio Roberto playing, and those two have kind of stayed at home. And then the left side with Fati, who has three goals already in the early season through three matches, just 17-year-old himself, by the way, and then Jordi Alba behind him, that's really been the marauding side, with Frankie de Jong kind of shading over a bit and adding that help and creating an overload on the left side. So if you're actually tactically going to put Dest into that Barca lineup, he would be more comfortable at the moment to kind of just get off the plane and jump in on the side that is overlapping and does fit naturally what he's been doing. And if Greg Berhalter decides to do the same thing with the men's national team and says, okay, maybe we'll stay at home on the right side, and then whoever it may be, it seems to me that, again, following the U.S. team, that there's an abundance of left wingers. And so you might almost do the same thing, that if Berhalter as well is going to do a 4-2-3-1, then maybe you do kind of strong side that left side of the field. And I actually do think Dest does fit there. And as far as his weak foot, and we'll speak about Conor De La Fuente in a second, those two have tremendous opposite feet, if you are, or weaker foot. Mm-hmm. And I think that as far as left back or right back, for Barcelona at least, looking at the left back position, you have Junior Firpo, who's yet to impress from Real Betis after a whole year at the club, and there is no backup right back. So Dest might honestly just be the backup fullback, if you will, playing the left or the right whenever you need to rotate the normal starters of Alba and Roberto.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. The wait is finally over. Football is back, and that's American football. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I also think that, you know, the modern game, playing opposite your dominant foot is, you know, that's commonplace. I know it's more commonplace for wingers than maybe it is for fullbacks, but you could argue that having sort of an inverted fullback on that side, especially if you play Christian Pulisic up in that forward position on the left-hand side, if Berhalter decides to continue with the 4-3-3, I mean, this is also part of what you're talking about with the difference in tactics. But if Christian Pulisic is out there, regardless of what the formation looks like, we know that Pulisic is killer isolated 1v1 on that left-hand side, kind of moving parallel to goal. If Dest is drawing defenders and filling that space inside of him, or Giovanni Reyna is obviously able to kind of bounce around too. This is getting very speculative, by the way, Dan. I think that could be very interesting. I mean, if Dest is a true threat with both feet, then you keep defenders guessing. You keep that you keep those other teams that you're playing unsure of where he's going to make his runs.
Yeah, certainly. He is electric with the ball at his feet. And the worries for the men's national team and the same ones that Barca fans should have is that defensively, he's still a 19-year-old. When you look in the mirror, that's what he is. And so defensively, you do have some questions there. But you don't want to create a system that works particularly for him. But if you can put him in a position to succeed, which I obviously it's in the best interest of both Koeman and Berhalter to make sure that you have the best wing back. And Alba has kind of lost a step. Alba is still much higher than Dest on the depth chart. And you could say the same thing. Roberto is an established professional. And Dest, again, is still a 19-year-old who was the backup, we should say. He did get some starts last year for Ajax in place of Mesraoui, who was out for much of the season. But Dest wound up being the number two when all the chips had to be pushed onto the table for Ajax in their season. And for Dest, if you can get the best out of him and allow his talent to be able to nurture it in the way it has without kind of making it all about him, leaving him on an island, I think, is completely fine. He has also showed that, and I know we all go back to the highlights of him against Alphonso Davies when they were playing for US and Canada, respectively. But Dest does have a little bit of that edge. He has a little bit of meanness to him as well. And I think that does come along with his personality of really being unafraid. And as a fullback, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to be quick. You're going to have to make up that space. And I think Dest has all the physical tools, at least, to do that. And it's now on Koeman and Berhalter to continue to nurture that as a player that is already showing great promise.
Let me ask about the arrival again. Let me go back to him getting to Barcelona. And he gets off the plane. He's walking through the terminal. I'm assuming that's what that was. And there's a crush of press. And which is great. I mean, obviously indicates that he's a high profile enough signing that there's some interest in him. And I know the moment at Barcelona is part of this, but there's one person with a camera, and I don't want to say journalist because I'm not sure, who says, "Are you the new Dani Alves?" Is that real pressure? Do you think that's something that, he doesn't seem fazed by it, but is that where the bar is at Barcelona? You better be Dani Alves if you arrive as a fullback?
Yeah, I think it is unfortunate. And this is kind of the plight of being a Barcelona fan in this stage in 2020, because the team has done so well. And I even saw today, I think it was the Ballon d'Or voting, whatever it is, French football came out with their list of their all-time greatest players. And Dani Alves wasn't even one of the top 10 right backs, which is completely absurd to me, because you could make the argument that when Dani Alves played for Sevilla, he played as right back, sure, but he really was an attacking midfielder. He was just so important, arguably the best player in the Liga before he came to Barcelona. And then at Barcelona, he does certainly establish himself. He's the winningest player as far as trophy count in the history of world football. And so obviously, Dani Alves is the peak. He is what any right back who, particularly those who are the overlapping, the marauding type, that's what everyone would aspire to be. So obviously, no player can reach the likes of Dani Alves. And obviously, you've also heard any player who comes from La Masia, who is able to score a few goals when they're 15, 16 years old, becomes the next Lionel Messi, whether they're from Japan or wherever it may be, they wind up getting that label. So Dest, obviously the goal and of any player in his position would to be Dani Alves, and he's going to get compared to Dani Alves from day one. It's a toxic situation. That's what it is. Fati, 17, is going to wind up needing to take over the mantle of being the superstar. Jorge Mendes is his agent, so he's going to have to be not the next Messi, but he's going to have to be that next superstar, super superstar, if you will, at Barcelona. And that's, again, just the price that these young players do pay about signing up to play at the Camp Nou, that the lofty expectations are always going to be there. And as I said, Dest has shown us that he might have rubbed a few of those rigid Dutch coaches at youth international level at the wrong way, but that kind of confidence is absolutely 100% necessary to play for the Blaugrana. And then again, the fans, particularly those on the internet, and I think this is a big, as you know too, on Twitter, or social media, wherever it may be, the fans on Twitter are not the same, especially for those in Catalonia. They're different people. They're different fans with different expectations. And sometimes we on the internet kind of forget what the people who are actually around the club and actually at the stadium really think and feel and see from these players.
Yeah, I think that's obviously something to keep in mind here. So he arrives at Barcelona. He turns down Bayern Munich, which certainly is, that's bound to make Barca fans feel a little bit better about their situation. And he was highly rated, and he comes in and he's a U.S. international. And, we've already talked a little bit about his background, and I think it's worth pointing out that he's not American made as much as he is an American. But what does it mean to have a U.S. international at Barcelona? How big of a deal is it? How much do you think the club will actually kind of highlight the fact that he plays for the U.S. men's national team?
Yeah, I mean, I think they will. He is the only fifth American player to play in the Liga. It was Casey Keller, Jozy Altidore, Villarreal, remember, Shaq Moore for a brief stint at Levante, and Anewu back in the day. So being the fifth American is a big deal. Being the first one to debut for Barcelona, and again, I'm biased here as well, but having Conrad De La Fuente, one of his, as we've seen, good friends at that level, will also inject the team with an American flair, sure. But as far as what it will do for American soccer, I spoke about this last week, that I think it just continues to raise the ceiling on American soccer as a whole. But when it comes to shirt sales or marketability, I'm not sure how much the club is actually going to lean in as much as they've already been leaning in. In 2016, they opened an office in New York. They have the Barça Academy, is the biggest one in Arizona. So even another potentially U.S. or potentially Mexican prospect in Julian Araujo, the LA Galaxy. If I remember right, he had been at the Academy for a while before moving to the Galaxy. And so I think that the American imprint and what they're trying to do, the Barca imprint and what they're trying to do in America, I think has already begun. And so, as I said, Dest, I truly believe it isn't just a ploy. We've seen that Barcelona, we talk about the issues that they have in terms of some of their transfer business. It's been, I'd say, pretty dastardly for the last few years. But Dest is clearly a player that was bought for sporting reasons and not just because he's American. But I think the biggest issue that still exists for the Liga in the States winds up being the accessibility as far as TV contracts, as far as coverage, where whether or not we want to say the Premier League has been hurt with the Peacock deal and having the overload of games there and that subscription service, but NBC being connected to the Premier League and then the Bundesliga being connected to Fox Sports for all that time and now ESPN, it just has so much of a better foothold, as well as all those Americans in the Bundesliga and obviously the connections of English to English speaking as far as the Premier League. So the Liga have been a league that is still trying to break into the American market. And I think Dest will certainly help that. But I'm not going to say, just like with the men's national team, just because we have a golden generation, we still miss the last World Cup. And the same thing goes for Dest. He is merely, I'd say, one of the big dominoes in helping La Liga get more popular in the United States. But you're going to need another generation and a bunch more players and a bunch more marketability and then league coverage and all those things. That, again, I can't give an easy answer because there's so much nuance to it and things take time as well.
Well, I do think you need a World Cup, right? And then we've said this about Christian Pulisic, too. As big of a name as he is in European soccer circles and as big as that transfer was from Dortmund to Chelsea, and what it means and everything and the talent he clearly has, and he can be a game changer for a perception of American players and maybe be the player who breaks through in the United States into mainstream stardom in a way that no soccer player has that's from here. You need a World Cup because that's what Americans pay attention to, right? They don't pay attention to World Cup qualifiers or the Gold Cup or the Nations League, whatever that is. They pay attention to a World Cup. So we have to wait until November of 2022 for Dest to be on that stage and knock on wood the U.S. makes it in order for him to sort of become, oh, there's an American at Barcelona. Let's pay attention to Barcelona.
Yeah, I think it is where you kind of care about a league. And it's what I always tell people, that you got to just find a league or find a team and watch that team and you put your focus there. So for La Liga, and I think, unfortunately, in America, it just doesn't get the credit as a league that it does. But even Getafe, which is a team that you might see in the Europa League, they've been making it, but they're a defensive team. But if you put Getafe up against, off the top of my head, I'm just trying to think of a defensive team like a Burnley, if you will, in the Premier League. Getafe plays just as well as Burnley. It's almost a similar system. Yet you look at the American audience and the way we perceive Burnley, we would never put them together. But Getafe is, again, a Europa League side that plays a very similar brand of soccer. And you can enjoy them in the same way. I mean, if that's what you're into. But, you know, Getafe is antithetical to what I enjoy about the game. But, yeah, there are so many teams in La Liga that wind up having quality and wind up having top players. And it just doesn't get the same attention. And I think that is a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, there's a community of people in the United States, soccer fans in the United States, who do gravitate towards Spanish football for those same reasons that English speakers gravitate towards the Premier League. It's that league is the top league where everything is conducted in the language that they speak or their first language. So I think there's obviously something to be said for that too. And I know this isn't, we're not focusing on Conrad De La Fuente, but his being a Miami kid who comes through the youth ranks at Barca, who now has arrived and maybe getting a look. I mean, who knows? You can tell me, Dan, what his actual prospects are, but he would certainly be much more monumental for the reach of Barcelona in certain parts of American soccer or American sports culture than maybe Dest. And it's not like Barcelona's not a well-known name anyway. They have the best player in the world.
Right. I mean, I saw there was a study done in 2018 that Barcelona, as far as foreign clubs, has the most name recognition and the most soccer fans of America are aware of FC Barcelona. And on the point of Conrad De La Fuente, sure. I mean, I have to also mention that for your listeners who I think he was kind of in the background and say, well, he's still in La Masia or he's trying to break into Barca B. And he was in that list of wingers with Yanez. Yeah. And that kind of ilk of players who is kind of breaking through in the next one in line. Now, I know Yanez has scored at the international level already. But for De La Fuente, I mean, I saw him, as many did, at the U20 World Cup. I followed that up by watching him in the UEFA Youth League. And he was a player that I was a little worried about his weak foot. I was a little worried about his decision making in the final third, where he had this ability to obviously on the left wing with his right foot to go at defenders one-on-one. He could win those battles or get to the goal line, but then what would happen next? And we saw that at the U20 World Cup where, you know, I obviously is a big fan of, not obviously, but I'm a big fan of Tab Ramos, but De La Fuente's decision-making even at that stage was worrisome. And in the UEFA Youth League, he looked like a player that for Barcelona, your chances of making the first team from La Masia are what, 2%? 3%, 5%, depending on the kind of talent. And so for him to wind up, having watched him all that time, I thought that he was a player that was going to wind up being discarded, or he was certainly going to be a professional. It was a matter of where. I thought he would wind up being in a first team somewhere, whether it was La Liga or beyond. But now to see his last year, where he has just, I mean, his weak foot has gotten better. His decision making has gotten so much better. In the Barca B, they wound up sticking in the third division, but they had a playoff to make the second division, which they wound up losing in the final. But De La Fuente was arguably their best player on that run to the Segunda Division Bay final. And I really like the fact that Koeman has been very honest and saying what he likes about him. And he likes that his decision making has gotten better. And now he's a player that in Kool-Aid circles, you could argue that could potentially fashion as a left back as well. If you're going to have that left side of the pitch for Barcelona be a marauding side. I'm not saying that he's going to get any more than 2 to 7 appearances this season. But for where he was 2 years ago, if you told me that he was going to get 2 to 7 appearances for Barcelona's first team in 2020, 2021, I would have been completely floored. So his progress in the last 2 years, I would say, I mean, this is a hot take coming from a Kool-Aid, but I think that Conrad De La Fuente has maybe made the biggest jump, or I would argue is in the top 3 or 4 jumps of any player in the U.S. pool just in the last 2 seasons of where he was when I saw him at 17 to where he is at 19. It's a pretty incredible leap.
That's certainly fascinating. I mean, I think it makes sense that that's what happened relative to sort of how quickly he showed up on the radar after we didn't know a whole lot or we weren't hearing constant mentions of him. And even it's even interesting when you consider, say, the history of Ben Lederman at La Masia, Dan, because I remember lots and lots of talk about this kid from California, 12 years old or whatever, going to Barcelona. And my policy at the time was, well, I'm not going to really talk about a kid who is still a kid and it also, you know, still a ways off from being a full professional. But if he shows up as a full professional, okay, let's talk about him. And then De La Fuente, as you said, sort of in the background coming along, the idea of him making 2 to 7 appearances this year, is that what you would think is best for his development? I mean, if Koeman wants to keep him around because he likes what he does, but he's not going to play, is that really what we want for a player of his age?
Yeah, well, I think the first point to answer that is actually answering it through the lens of Lederman, is that when Lederman went to Barcelona, I mean, midfield, when it comes to La Masia, is the most contentious and most difficult spot on the field to break through. And then he gets hit. He was one of 11 players to get hit when Barcelona had that transfer ban. So he winds up having to come to the U.S. And so his story was, I think, quite different than De La Fuente's because he had that passport. De La Fuente just been able to work his way up through the system. And obviously, we know with youth football that if you're a winger and a talented winger, that's your best opportunity to break through. That's why Fati was able to break through at 16. Now, he's also a very, very special talent. But same thing with Pulisic, Reina, attacking midfielders and attacking wingers. They're the ones that are able to break through at much younger ages because that's just the way that football works. So I think with De La Fuente, 2 to 7 appearances for the first team will, I don't think, ruin his development at all, in that he was supposed to be a pivotal figure for Barça B. And Francisco Pimienta, the manager there, I really, really like him. Whether he just doesn't have the name cachet to wind up taking over the first team, but he is La Masia. He is Barcelona style of play, and they call it the Barcelona way, with a little bit of a, we'll say, you know, our noses up in the air a little bit. But Pimienta always does teach that way, and I trust a talent like De La Fuente with Pimienta. So if he is a main player for Barça B in the Spanish third division, which you could argue he should be playing at a higher level, sure, but I still think if he makes a few appearances with the Barcelona first team, he's in training. Obviously, he's playing with and against the likes of Messi and Piqué and Busquets and De Jong, and that just makes these guys better players. That's what it is. I mean, as much as he might not be playing for the first team, he's still just 19. So as far as Barcelona's track, if he makes those 20 to 25 appearances for Barca B, winds up scoring around, what, 9 to 15 goals, and then makes a few appearances with the first team as he's training with them regularly, that is what he was supposed to do this year. The fact that he's even around the first team and we're considering him to be on the field, as I said, is just beyond what I expected when they even began preseason. He and Yes Moriba, who is the highly paid midfielder, still 17 himself, but he's been put with Barca B, and somehow De La Fuente has continued to stick around again, which continues to shock me.
Interesting. Okay, so I mean, again, Carlos De La Fuente is a player to watch at Barcelona, and we could have two Americans conceivably at, you know, line up at some point or on the field together at some point this year. But this is a lot about Sergiño Dest, and I think it's easy for an American soccer fan to jump immediately to Alphonso Davies when talking about fullbacks, because he's Canadian, not American, but he came out of a system that involves American teams. We kind of think, okay, well, if Canada has an Alphonso Davies, do we have one of those? Is it fair to judge Dest on Davies' rise at Bayern, or are their situations different enough? Maybe their skill set's different enough. Alphonso Davies is one of the fastest players in the world, that you kind of need to hold back a little bit on the expectations for Dest.
Yeah, I mean, I think because as you talk about the physical tools of Alphonso Davies, things that you certainly just can't teach. So Dest, I think, is going to have a little bit of a more learning curve. He might have some issues, but honestly, the things that you see in his game, by the time he is 22, 23 years old, you're going to be talking about a world-class player potentially. And I know that it's almost trite to throw that word out like that, but Dest has all the tools, and it really is going to be about development in a way that Davies, because of his physical tools, and again, a ton of credit to Hansi Flick and what they do at Bayern Munich in terms of cultivating their talent in the way that it did, the way that he moves from the left wing, that being Davies, back to left back, and the ways that he's able to use his pace to make up for those. But again, that 4-2-3-1 system also supports those runs that Davies makes. And when Bayern Munich have had their issues this year, against even last week when they lost to Hoffenheim, you see kind of the flaws of what those wing backs are. And so Davies, even he makes a few mistakes, but his speed allows him to make up for those mistakes a little bit better than Dest will for at least the first one or two seasons, as he's really getting accustomed to it. And the other difference too is that with Bayern Munich, the way they play their system, they're trying to get, they don't put talent on the field that isn't ready to go. And these locker rooms do work very similarly, where there are personalities at Bayern Munich where Neuer or Müller, they will eat you alive if you do not bring it on the field. And Barcelona can be very much the same way, where Messi, Piqué, even Busquets, they seem that they're a little softer, and maybe Piqué's a little goofier, and Busquets just seems a little more of a, he wants to give you a hug more than Müller does. But those guys are ruthless as well. Mentality is so important. And so for Dest, it's going to be about sticking on that path and just understanding that his physical tools are great attacking, but defensively, it's going to be a little bit of work in progress. So as I said, it's going to be tough. I wouldn't compare the two just because the timeline is different. Then Bayern was ready to insert Davies in the way that they did, and they were understanding that he was the player who was going to be in that position. And for Dest, he's with a team that, I know Barcelona is expected to win a Champions League every year, but they're a team that are arguably in a rebuild, that are trying to work through some things and some of the demons and some of the scars of the past few seasons that they're trying to work through. And Dest is a part of that project, as opposed to where Alphonso Davies has already won the Champions League. And it's weird to me to say that comparing Barcelona and Bayern Munich, but it's a state that we're in.
Yeah, we're not going to unpack everything that happened at Barcelona, but as people have been following, but obviously Messi was the catalyst for a lot of the concern and the upheaval that's going on. And so give us as we get ready to close this out, Dan, just give us a thumbnail sketch of where the club is with that process, and with Messi saying he wanted to go, but he couldn't. And now, you know, there's a vote that could change the leadership of the club early next year. Where are things with Barcelona, and how does that impact their ability to compete, you know, in the upper echelon of European football, where they obviously want and expect to be?
Yeah, well, Barcelona before COVID, there's that gif of the community gif where where he walks into the room with the pizza box and everything's on fire. So if you would expect Barcelona, what they were for about the last 2 or 3 months, or even going back 6 to 8 months, that's basically the situation of the club. They spent a lot of bad money, whether it was Coutinho, Griezmann, just inflated prices, basically since Neymar left in 2017, and it's odd because that's when we started the podcast as well. The dominoes have continued to fall to put Barcelona in a pretty nasty situation. And the president, Josep Bartomeu, There's a motion of no confidence going out against him. The earliest that elections could be is March, but if his vote of no confidence goes through, then he could be forced to resign almost immediately, and that will change things. Now, the new coach that's coming in, we don't know who that is yet. Obviously, well, it's Komen now being the coach, but there's a new board, and right now Victor Font is the presidential candidate who seems to be the favorite to that. He says that he wants to make Xavi basically the center point of his project, and development and players like Dest are going to be prioritized. So I would say that even if this year winds up working out in a poor way, that even if Ronald Koeman is gone next season and he's replaced with Xavi or whoever it may be that supports this new president or supports this new board, that Dest could succeed under Koeman because Koeman wanted him. And then next season, when it's all about the way that Dest plays and trying to cultivate that kind of talent and younger players who are going to play, say, quote unquote, the Barca way, I think that Dest is actually in a good situation. We just can't hit the panic button with him as the club itself continues to go through these issues. Now, Dest, fortunately for him, and again, this is a big thing where he was basically able to sneak in. When we talk about his deal, if reports are to be believed, that Ajax, who had a better financial offer from Bayern Munich, Mark Overmars, a former player for both Arsenal and Barcelona, he agreed to have Barcelona pay the Dest fee over multiple seasons, where it's 5 million euro, I believe, this year, and then Barca will continue to pay, and they have all their financial issues. So for Dest, my hope is that this new board kind of takes over, because at the moment, if I was Dest and I had been around the club for a year, I would actually be worried this board, who is trying with all their might to sell off players and reduce salary and reduce fee, weekly wages, if you will, as fast as possible. So I think Dest is young enough and brought in with such a purpose that he's going to be able to sidestep, we'll say, a lot of the times, and that guillotine is going to continue to fall at the club for the next few seasons. So for everybody, I would say, just Barcelona fans and Dest fans, just be patient. He is part of a longer project that I hope that he is a part of for many, many years. So I'm very optimistic about at least his future at the club, and who knows where the club will be in a year. Just like it is with Hollywood paparazzi or media, Barcelona media and the drama surrounding this club is always at its nadir. Whether it was Kubala or Cruyff, there seems to always be drama surrounding Catalan media and it's Spanish media at large. If we think that English media and American media is knee-jerk, you have no idea. Yeah. Spanish media, it's constant. It is every hour on the hour, and that's what we're going to deal with. And we're going to find out if Dest is 2 minutes late till training, then we're going to find out some kind of secret conspiracy about him, and just expect those stories to come and then ignore them because it just means he had a bad performance and this is just a reaction to that. So I would say be patient, be calm, and same thing with the U.S. We miss a World Cup, but take a breath. Everything is going to be okay.
Dan Hilton from the Barcelona podcast. You can find them at barcablog.com. You can follow Dan at HiltonD13 on Twitter. Dan, thanks for jumping on and talking Sergiño Dest in Barcelona with me.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Great work here. Really good show.
Thanks for listening to From the Stands for the Best Soccer Show. Thanks to Dan Hilton from the Barcelona podcast for coming by and giving us his thoughts on Sergiño Dest and a little sprinkling of Conrad De La Fuente, who I have discovered wants to be called just Conrad. That's fantastic. The Best Soccer Show will be back on Monday morning with a brand new episode. If you want to listen live to us record that episode, maybe give us a call, throw in your thoughts. You can listen on Sunday nights on our YouTube channel. Go search for The Best Soccer Show. And while you're searching for things, go find us on your favorite podcast app or podcast catcher and give us a rating and review, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps us out a lot, gets us a few more people paying attention to the fact The Best Soccer Show is back. Thank you to everybody who's supporting us already. If you want some extra content, we throw out some extras every week and we have a Slack for all of our besties. Go to patreon.com/JDandTheRod in order to join up. Again, thank you very much to Dan Hilton. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the Rodius, I guess. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks once again for Jason Davis having me on The Best Soccer Show. Again, you can find that wherever you get your podcasts. And again, Jason Davis can also be found on SiriusXM, YouTube, wherever you basically find any soccer media, particularly American soccer media, you'll find Jason Davis. So I want to thank you as well, our regular The Barcelona Podcast listeners, for tuning into this. You can tap in your app, check out the show notes. You know all this. Social media on Twitter at The Barcelona Pod, at HiltonD13 for me. Closed Facebook group, that's where we got the deeper dives and discussions from La Ronda earlier in the week. And the Patreon is what helps us keep this show going. So you can also find us on YouTube, The Barcelona Podcast. You know we're there. Check us out. Hit that subscription button. And thanks so much for listening to The Barcelona Podcast. Until next time, talk to you soon. Forza Barça.
you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.